Amen. Oh, words in season. Get ready for what the Lord's going to do in your new seasons. Amen.
We're just about at the end of it because it's Christmas, not very long before Christmas. But I pray that the Holy Spirit has been revealing to you his truth and his life. Advent, you know, is a time to reflect on our lives, to repent of things that have not honoured Christ or have not honoured others. And so today in Matthew's Gospel, it reveals that God had a plan for all of us. But no matter what, it looks a bit messy. You see, we're asked, even if it's messy and the plan looks messy, we're asked to be faithful and obedient to his plan and not worry about everybody else around us. You see, the Christmas story in Matthew's Gospel reminds us that God works all things out for good, and even in the mess. You see, he has the blueprint of the plans that are for our life, and we must take courage and take our hands off. Because who likes to get our hands on the plan? Who likes to get involved? I don't like it when it's like this. I want it like that. But God reveals to us today that he can work with the mess. And there is a Christmas mess. If you believe it, God created the mess. There's no greater mess in the story that we read about and hear about in Matthew 1, starting at verse 18. But we actually know that Mary, here it is in a summary, Mary's pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they get married, Mary becomes pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Wow. Bit messy. Well, it's all right for those in the know, now that we're in the know all these years back, but can you imagine everybody around them? So Joseph comes in the story today, and we hear a lot about the story from Joseph, and he faced a lot of difficulties. I think there's a few Josephs that feel like you might be a little bit insignificant in the story, but in actual fact, you're very significant because God has planned you into this story. You see, how does Joseph handle this? How does he get out of this when he's thinking, well, Mary's pregnant, I've got to be faithful to the law, because he honoured the law, and I've got to be faithful to my family and to the culture, the Jewish culture around me. I'll just do it quietly. I'll just let her go, or I'll divorce her quietly. And that's how he thought he would be honouring her. But the Holy Spirit had a different plan. So how does he get out of this without hurting Mary, if he goes that way, and without hurting his own reputation? But Joseph chooses honour. And so he honours Mary and he honours his culture. One thing we can glean from the story today is that when God has a plan for you, you should go with God's plan. Is that a good tip? Not your own. Don't get your hands on it. You've got to keep going and doing what you need to do. He could have said no to God. He could have said, this is going to ruin my reputation, God, because I'm walking around with a woman that's pregnant and I don't think they're going to believe me. He could have said no to Mary, but in it all, Joseph, whose role looked like it was really, really, really small, he actually plays a really significant part in the birth of Jesus Christ. And I want to unpack that today, and I want to show you to see how significant Joseph is in the story. In summary of the first chapter in Matthew, it reveals the whole genealogical line. You know, Matthew chapter 1, this one begets that. And so we have this long story of genealogy, which it says, and in verse 16 it says, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, who was the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who's called the Messiah. So Joseph is actually a part of the Davidic line, and he's named here as such. Verse 19, it says, thus there were 14 generations from Abraham, we know Father Abraham, that's the start of it all, comes all the way through to David, 14 generations. Then there were 14 generations from David through to the exile in Babylon, and then there were 14 from the exile through to Jesus Christ. There's a reason for all of that, but I'm not preaching on that today. But there is this summary that takes you down exactly the 14 generations. Now, Matthew records this long line of genealogy to reveal the Davidic pedigree to the house of David. The family history of David had to come back and down and had to be connected to Jesus Christ. In Romans 1 today, it reads, it states in verse 3 that regarding his son, which is Jesus Christ, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David. Now, of course, some people say, well, that might be through Mary, but you have to have a look at the other Gospels to see it's actually through Joseph, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God. So his earthly descendancy in the line of David was really important. There was a prophetic message, and it's really deep and big, and I'm not going to unpack it all here. But interestingly, Joseph is named as the contributor of the Davidic pedigree that comes down and has him inserted into this genealogical line. Luke, in another gospel, records chapter 2, verse 4, that Joseph went up to the town of Nazareth. We know the Christmas story, don't we? They had to go to where? Bethlehem. Why did they go to Bethlehem? It was the city of David and it was the census and they had to go there. There'd been this decree ordered that they had to go for this census. So if it had been in Mary's line and lineage, and she's married, technically betrothed to Joseph, if she was from another line, would they have gone to David? No, they went to the city of David because of Joseph's line. Joseph had to go to the city of David for the census because it was his family hometown. So there it is. And so we see that Jesus, through Jacob, so Joseph receives this lineage of David and his earthly pedigree. So Jesus, born son of Joseph, a descendant of David, is born in Bethlehem in the city of David, owing to the fact that Joseph had to travel there. Okay, then we get fulfillment. Why did they do this? What is all this about? Well, there's prophecy. There's words of prophecy that came through in Isaiah. Isaiah 7 today. It says here, was read out. Then Isaiah said, speaking to the house of David, he's prophesying to the house of David, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel." That was the prophetic, many, many, many years ago, that was the prophetic word. And so they're reminded about, this was the prophetic promise that God gave to the house of David. It had to come through David because that's what Isaiah promised. It was fulfilled through Joseph. So he's a big, significant part of this story. Luke was insistent on revealing that Jesus is the son of Joseph, the son of David. And it reveals that Jesus is born into this Davidic authority. Luke doesn't omit the fact that Jesus is also the Son of God. He's taken on the divine nature because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So we see that Joseph didn't contribute to the DNA, in a sense, the physical conception of Jesus Christ, but he was definitely in God's divine plan. And we can see the power of adoption. You see, we're adopted in as fathers and sons of, sons and daughters of God. That power of adoption is over Joseph adopting David and how powerful that is. So Joseph could have looked at this in the natural and he could have said, look, I just know I'm falling short. I can't take this on. I can't take this big thing on, God, because of my own deficiency. People are going to judge me. They're going to tell me that I've done the wrong thing. But in the end, God sends this angel to make sure Joseph got in line with the plan, because he knew that there was going to be a mess and there was going to be this part of his divine plan that he had to get Joseph to obey. So verse 19 of Matthew, he says, because Joseph was her husband, he was faithful to the law. He's a very lawful Jew. Yet he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. He had mind to divorce her quickly or quietly. But after he considered all of this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David." He's named again in the gospel. "You're the son of David. Like, stand up. There's a plan here. Come on. This is what I've got for you." And he says that what's within Mary is conceived in by the Holy Spirit. She's going to give birth and tells the whole story, and then adds in the prophecy from Isaiah. So Joseph obeys the angel, and he took Mary home as his wife. He went along with the plan. And I've preached many, many times about the importance of cultivating a culture of honour. Remember, it's so important if we want to see miracles in our midst, if we want to see the flow of the Holy Spirit, if we want to see the Holy Spirit flowing through this church, through us, we must cultivate that atmosphere of honour. But I want to say that this is what Joseph did, because Joseph could have chosen to go with his own honour, defending his right, his reputation and all of his Jewish heritage. And lawfully he would have been right if he stepped away and let her go. Lawfully. He could have saved his own reputation. He could have dumped Mary and left her in dire circumstances. But God knew Joseph wouldn't do that. He knew he was an honourable man, and he knew he'd do the right thing even against all the odds. And I can only imagine how many in that Jewish community murmured and gossiped about Mary's circumstances, because we believe it by faith. But can you imagine them? How many of their church community would you think would have believed that she really was a virgin? They would have gone, "Oh, no, she's not a virgin. Come on, who's she been with? Who's the father of this child that she's carrying around with Joseph? Come on, you all know it. We're all human." And I'm sure that there would have been a lot of dishonour for Mary, and also dishonour for Joseph. They would have been marginalised. They would have been in difficult circumstances. Just think about it. And as Joseph and Mary has to travel to their own hometown for the census, remember it's their hometown, there's family there. Joseph wasn't just some tag-along with Mary. Joseph was hand-picked by the Lord to be the one who would give Jesus his Davidic pedigree. And this was his hometown, so why wasn't there any family that would have given them some space? Hello? I know where my hometown is. Do you know where your hometown is? And if you went back because you had to go back for a reason to go collect tax off the family farm, or had to do something, or whatever you have to do, do you reckon you might find a bed? I reckon you would. But Joseph has this difficulty because there was no room anywhere. And even though, given the fact that there was a lot of people who travelled to Bethlehem because there was this ordered census that had to happen, you would have thought in the urgent circumstances that Mary was in, ready to deliver any minute, you would have thought that there was someone that would have said, "I've got a bedroom for you because you're a part of my family." But no. You see, they didn't get the priority beds because I believe they were marginalised by their family. I believe it just didn't fit in with the plan. Like, this isn't a good Jewish, look, marriage. It isn't a Jewish community thing that we'd celebrate, that this is a mess. How many times have we been in a mess and it doesn't look good and people go, "Oh, I don't know what that's all about." But what happens if they'd been shamed and dishonoured by their family and their community? I think that's what might have happened. That's just my little thoughts. I think that's what might have happened. And I believe that Joseph and Mary were surrounded by dishonour. They'd been dishonoured and marginalised, but look what Joseph does. This is the part that Joseph is really good for. He continues to cover her, protect her, and honour her. And that was because the Lord's bringing forth this miracle. No matter how hard our circumstances are or were, Joseph was incubating
their circumstances and covering it with honour. He was covering Mary with honour, because what had to come through Mary had to be honoured. It's the Lord's. It's the seed of the Lord. And the Lord himself is about to shower the family with honour for their obedience. Honour was not going to be taken away from this miracle. God had a plan. He says, even if you're in the stable with the stinky old horses and cattle and all that straw and stuff, he says, I'm going to send angels to honour you. I'm going to send shepherds to honour you. I'm going to send anyone to honour you, because this baby's got to be birthed in honour. And that was so important, that the honouring had to overcome the dishonour. And we see this wonderful thing. Did you know that what God wants to birth in you, if he wants to birth something really good, he has to birth it in honour. And if something's surrounded in dishonour, it's not going to last too long. So it is that Mary and Joseph were so overcome by all the honour that all Mary could do was just ponder it in her heart. Just her and Joseph and the baby. And she's pondering all this amazing stuff in her heart. And Mary and Joseph's earthly family were not there to honour this birth. Their Jewish community weren't there to honour this birth. But look what God sent to honour the birth. One of my favourite blessings is, go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strength the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Give honour to all. Take that away from you today. Give honour to all. Love and serve the Lord. The Christmas story is messy, yet it was birthed in honour. It's messy this Christmas for Church of the Way. It's messy for many of us. The lives of many are messy. And yet we've got to strive to see it through the Lord's eyes and not our own mess and our own interpretations. It's important that we honour all, those who are staying to forge a new ministry this next new year, those who are leaving to walk in obedience to the Lord. Honour's got to be given to all. When we start working out things in the natural, when we start to try and understand it, we're only like that Jewish community that wants to, you know, misunderstand and dishonour. We start understanding things in the natural, we want to work in the flesh, and we slip into dishonour. And today we've heard, we have people who've heard God's leading to leave, and we must not let them slip away without honouring them. You see, I love seeing what Judy Rule did last week. She made some beautiful Christmas angels out of stained glass makings, and she had them blessed, and she went and gave them to those that had done that. Whether they were, some were staying, some were leaving, but they were people who'd led and had significant roles in the church. And I thought, that's wonderful, because she is the lamp that is here to honour, so that what continues at Church of the Way must be honoured. And so she honoured those with the gifts. She spoke with sincere thanks for those people who've done so much at Church of the Way for many, many years. And the reason we must foster an atmosphere of honour is so that miracles can be released in due time. Today we must choose to honour each other. We must honour those that are staying at Church of the Way. We must honour those who are leaving, who have served so diligently here at Church of the Way. So today, Mel, your family are coming for baptism. That's exciting. But it's sad because you're leaving. And we're going to be releasing you today. And Kerry and Barry, today is the day you too are going to be being released. And I want to thank you for how you have served faithfully. And the many years, as I walked into this parish 12 years ago, so many memories, so many things that have happened, so much you've done to serve, and you cannot go without us honouring you rather than dishonouring your choices. So thank you for the many hours of volunteering, for praying, caring and loving us at Church of the Way. I have wonderful memories of you all. May God encompass you with angels and with many blessings for your service and your love. And we also say that to Terry as well, who's staying another week. For those who are staying and preparing for a new ministry, we honour you. We honour those who've willingly put their names forward for the election this afternoon. We honour the three ministers, Noel, Alan and Bill, for their families, for holding ground and for offering to serve in a new way here. We need to be of good courage, people of God, holding fast to that which is good, rendering to no one evil for evil, strengthening the faint-hearted, supporting the weak, help the afflicted, and give honour to all. Amen. Wow, the kids are back. Xavier, where are you? Huh? Do you reckon we should get into this? Okay, so what we're going to do is... You're already ready? Well, what we've got to do is, there's a few little things in here we're going to say. Can I say a few things to you, Xavier? Do you know, there's lots of rules in churches, and I think you've broken all of them. But I let you break them all because they needed to be broken. I'll tell you what, there's a rule that says that you can't come and have communion until you've been baptised. But I knew your heart, and the Lord said to me, you were ready to have communion. And you've had communion for quite a long time because you were ready. And sometimes we've got to go with the, well, we've got to work with the rules, but sometimes we've got to work with the Holy Spirit. And I've seen you with the flags, and I see you go round and 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 round. And... I know. Oh, you do the eight. And you know what? You haven't cared what the other boys are doing. You're a leader in your own kind. Because it's not necessarily everybody's thing to do the flags, but you have had that on your heart. I think Mum's bought you a... Did you buy him? Chippo got you one of those.
It was a banner.
A banner. Okay. And do you know, one day we watch you as you grow up, and we've seen you from when you were born right the way through. We've watched you, and we watch you grow in the Lord. And I remember one day I thought, what's wrong? Because Xavier's not got his banner. And in fact, I think Ken went over and checked with Mel and said, what's wrong with Xavier? Xavier, you put your banner down and you says, I want to sing today. And we heard you sing. Does anyone remember that? And we were like, did you hear Xavier singing today? We'd forgotten that you had actually could read by now. And you were actually singing all that those songs up there, and you were singing with your whole heart. And we thought, wow, this is a new thing for Xavier. But anyway, we're glad that you picked up the flag and the banner. And I hope that wherever you go, you can raise a banner and do it wherever, whatever church you go to, that you can still do that. So we... say it's been wonderful to have you in our church, and I was so pleased. I think, did he pick some of the songs? A lot of Xavier's songs that you knew. I think Lockie picked them because they were songs that you knew today, especially for you. So it's your day, okay? Anyway, so we're going to do this. We've got to do some of this stuff because this is what we have to do. So I'm going to invite Matt. Mel, we're just going to have... Do you know how to read this? Maybe you could run the service. You think? So I'm inviting someone to come and present him. Whoever would like to come and present him. So you just say, we present Xavier. Xavier's got two names. Yes. Robert, Terence. Yeah.
And then Horton.
Yeah, and then Horton at the end. That's important, isn't it? So... So for you, we're going to say to Mum, will you accept the responsibility placed on you in bringing Xavier for baptism, which is bringing him up and in the Lord to understand all of the things that he's already understanding?
I will.
Great. So there's a decision. Therefore, I ask, before God and before this congregation, you've got to affirm that you turn to Christ. Do you turn to Christ? I turn to Christ. You say it. You say? Yes. Do you repent of your sins? Yes. Good boy. Do you reject selfish living and all that's false and unjust? Do you know what that is? You reject them all? That's awesome. Do you renounce Satan and all evil? That just means, do you? Oh, look, that was a bit confusing. Hang on, I'll reword that for you. Will you turn away from Satan and all the evil that he has? Good boy. Yeah, that's okay, you do now. So I'm going to pray, Almighty God, deliver you from the powers of darkness and lead you into the light of Christ and his ever-loving freedom. And I say to you as a congregation, you've seen Xavier grow up with us. You know him through and through. And you've heard how he's responded to Christ. We can say we're going to support him, but will you support him in his calling?
Yeah.
Hey. So then we're going to have the baptism. So we need to get up, go out there to the pool. Are you ready? Have you got a towel?
Yep.
Beautiful. Let's go. Out there, we're going to baptize right now.